2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 15. I want to read this one verse of scripture, and we'll do our best to try to mind the Lord in preaching this morning. And we're just going to try to just go with God and let Him help us this morning on what He wants us to do and say. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 15, a very short verse, but very powerful, very power-packed, priceless. And it says this, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." I want to read it again. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and I praise You, Lord, for what You've been doing in my own heart, and I thank You for that. And Lord, I pray that You will move in this service this morning and that You will help us to think Your thoughts, because I can't say what I'm not thinking. So I'm praying, Lord, that You will guide my thought and let the Spirit of God give us utterance. We pray in Jesus' name this morning that You will challenge us. Lord, You will not only challenge us to be more than we are, Lord, for You that can never be more than You are. Lord, challenge us about that in many other areas. But also, Lord, I pray that You will help us to see the Lord in as best we can Your value. Lord, how what You mean and how big You are this morning. Please help us, I pray, as we trust You to lead us and to empower us. Lord, I know that You do not anoint ability. And Lord, I do not want to stand here, Lord, with any kind of confidence or dependence, Lord, upon ability. If I had any, I want to stand here, Lord, with my trust and my confidence, Lord, in You. I want You to use me today. Lord, I'm not here to impress. I'm not here, Lord, to please man. I'm here, Lord, this morning to represent You. Lord, help me to stand in Your stead as an ambassador of the high courts of heaven. May You, Lord, be pleased this morning, I pray. May You have liberty to speak and work. May You, Lord, captivate our attention. Because I'm persuaded, Lord, that You would do very little without our attention. If You can get our attention, Lord, then You have access to us. And Lord, we can hear You. We can respond to You. But if You're not even in our thoughts, then, Lord, it's very little that we're going to do for You. Please help us this morning, and we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, coming to the close of two chapters, chapter number 8 and chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians, both chapters are totally given to giving. He starts dealing with the churches of Macedonia that gave out of their deep poverty and out of their great trial of affliction, they gave. And it goes on down, and ultimately it gives Christ Jesus as the ultimate example of giving in chapter number 8. Verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," notice this, "yet for your sakes." That's what drove Him, your sakes. He didn't come here for Him. He come here for your sakes. Though He was rich, He didn't need anything. He didn't need anything. Are you listening? But we needed everything because we had nothing. But for Him to be our Savior, our mediator, for Him to be our advocate, our go-between, our Savior, He had to come here and He had to be one that would identify with us. He could have been born in a palace, but He couldn't identify with me. Amen. Because I wasn't born in a palace. I didn't have the notoriety that he could have had from kings and princes and so forth of the world. He could have had that easily. He could have had, you know, the angelic host around the clock praising him and drawing attention to him. Amen. But instead he was born in a manger. Born in a stable, a lowly stable, laid in a feeding trough so that everybody can relate to him. Everybody. Thank God for Jesus doing that. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. His poverty, friend, was by choice. What about that? He willingly gave it all up. Why? For your sakes. Here is the reason. Though that ye through his poverty might be rich. And he continues on down through chapter 8 and on into chapter 9. And he deals with us personally about our giving. He that giveth, and it's used in verse 6, he that soweth sparingly. And that's what giving is sowing. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I don't think that it'd be God's will for you and I to be thankful for him giving his best for us and then us not be a giving individual ourselves. Amen. I do. I think that would be an ultimate disgrace. But he comes through both of those chapters dealing about giving. And he comes to almost like here I want to finalize everything that I'm saying. Here I want to leave you with something before I close the context of giving in those two chapters. And he comes to verse 15 of chapter 9 and he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I want you to notice something there. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the unspeakable gift that is being spoken of in verse number 15. You say, but preacher, that's elementary. What are you driving at? I'm going to demonstrate and try to help us get the point here in just a few minutes. I guess it was probably 2, maybe 3 years ago, I read this verse of scripture in our Christmas devotional over in the fellowship hall, and I had done some research and found out he said Jesus was the unspeakable gift. That is, you cannot articulate. You don't have the vocabulary to describe and to define the Son of God and all of his majesty and splendor. You would be at a loss for words if you exhaust the human language. You can't describe him. You know what that's telling me? If it's that big, it's beyond description. It's beyond our ability to be able to wrap thought around it and describe it with words. That tells me that it is greatly, it is big, it's large, it's immeasurable. God said he's the unspeakable gift. But I found out that one source said that there was Webster's third new dictionary, or whatever it was that I was looking at, said there was 450,000 words in the English language. Another one, Walton's Word Phrases, 2001, said there were 615,500 words. Encyclopedia in Americana, or however you say that, 1999, this is a few years ago, said there was between 650,000 and 750,000 words in the English language. Another source, listen to this, said there was 988,968 words. That's a lot of words. Surely you'd be able to describe and say anything that needs to be said with 988,968 words. But God says, let me tell you about my son who was born of a virgin, came here and become a man so that he could redeem mankind. He is the unspeakable gift. My vocabulary is very limited, and if you hear me preach much, you know that. Actually, all of our vocabulary is probably very limited. Very limited in size of 988,968. I don't know of anybody that's got that big of a vocabulary. But if we all took what words we know, amen, and put them all together, amen, to try to describe and define Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. You know, when we've exhausted our means, we've exhausted every dictionary, we've exhausted every adjective, we've tried our best to go to the extreme, we tried to exaggerate, we tried everything, but when we are done, God says, you still hadn't touched the surface. He still remains today the unspeakable gift. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I believe that a lot of people never gets excited much about Jesus because he's very small. He's very little in their life. You know, something little, something minute, something that doesn't mean much, you can probably describe it with a couple of words. I believe if I could summarize the sin of Christianity today, and the sin of Bible-believing churches today is that we are living little lives for a big Lord. I think that's the problem. I was coming from my house to this place this morning, to the house of God, and the thought came on my mind even as I was driving. Are we more excited about gifts under the tree than we are the gift that was hung on the tree? I wonder how many, on whenever it is that you will open those gifts and there's one with your name on it, and oh, you're excited. Why? Because there's a surprise element involved. You don't know what it is. And you rip through the package. You rip through the external to get into it. And you're excited. I can't wait to see what my Father's got me. I can't wait to get in it. I can't wait to hold it. I can't wait to have it. I can't wait to use it. But then when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift, do we have excitement? Do we have, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to learn more. I can't wait to know more. I can't wait to open up yet other verses and yet other truths. I can't wait. I think that what I said was right. I believe the Lord said it right to me. I believe we're more excited about tangible earthly gifts under the tree than we were the Son of God who hung on a tree, God's unspeakable gift. I've already had 56 Christmases already in this life. I'm fixing to have my 57th one soon. Actually, no, I've had 55. I don't want to add more than I need to there. They're adding up pretty quick anyway. Amen. But I'm getting ready to have my 56th Christmas here in a few days. Are y'all listening? I couldn't tell you too many presents that I've got in my life. You know why? They come and go. They were meaningful at the moment, and then next thing you know, they're either rotted, rusted, sold in a yard sale for 50 cents, or just thrown in the trash. And your life goes on, and you forget the present, you forget who gave it, you forget what sacrifice was involved, who paid for it, the meaning behind it, the desire to want to be a blessing to you. You forget all those things. It's just another present, another gift in the road, and I'm afraid we treat Jesus just like that. Oh, yeah, preacher, I opened that gift for me 37 years ago, this coming January 20th. 37, yeah, I opened that gift. And we just kind of discard it. We just kind of throw that thing aside. But I want us to know something this morning, that when it identifies in our text verse that he is God's unspeakable gift, he wants us to know that he is the gift. Not what he can do. Not what he can do. Not what he can give. But he himself is the gift. How many of us How many of us will get a gift? This represents Jesus. He is the gift. And here's what we'll do. We quickly go past the gift and we're trying to figure out what's in there. And then you know what we do after we pulled out a few things out of there? The very gift, we discard it. Do we treat Jesus like that? We get saved. He's the gift. Is that not right? He's the gift. And you know what we do? We look at, oh, there's peace. There's joy. Oh, yeah, there's blessings. And we get out of what comes with the gift, but then we discard the gift itself. We only want what comes out of it. And do we not treat Jesus that way? The gift really don't mean near as much as what he can do. Do you think that grieves him? Do you think that offends him when we're more excited about what he can do rather than him? He was treated like that in his earthly ministry. He would feed 5,000. They didn't care about him other than that he can feed us if we're hungry. He healed people. They didn't love him. All they were interested in was following him so he could heal them again if they were sick or if they needed something. I know, listen, it don't matter to me what you believe about it, but we've really put Jesus on the same level with Santa Claus. I say we, I haven't, but most people have. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We put him on that level of all that we're interested in is what he can give us. We don't want Santa Claus to control our life. Of course, he can't. He's non-existent. And I know that hurts some of your feelings. We don't want no control. We don't want no source telling us what to do, telling us what not to do. We just want hands out, hand out. Yeah, Lord, here, give me some more. Just give me some more, huh? Did y'all hear the girls singing this morning? They didn't have a clue what I was preaching. Jesus is all I need. Think about that. If this represents the gift of God, Jesus Christ, then if I have him, I have everything that he has and everything that he is. And amen. Why would I want to discard him and try to keep some of the benefits? Don't make sense, does it? But I'm afraid we've treated Jesus the same way. In fact, to prove that, I believe I can prove that, and I believe you'd recognize it and agree with it. Jesus don't get near the recognition that a lot of the other man-made additional fictional things added to the Christmas time of the year. This thought come on me yesterday as I was up there preaching. Did you know that if you remove Christ out of Christmas, I'm talking about completely out of Christmas, out of the song service, out of songs, movies, everything. Did you know that most traditional aspects of Christmas will continue on? If you took Christ out of the music of Christmas, most of the music that you hear played will continue to be played. You know why? Don't have a thing to do with Jesus. A lot of the movies that come out this time of the year that supposedly is Christmas oriented or whatever, a lot of them don't have a thing to do with Jesus, specifically a biblical view of Jesus. Christmas has become about everything except Jesus. But God says it's all about him. It's all about him. Amen? Oh, isn't that so? God help us this morning to realize that he is the gift. He is the gift. And let me say this. This just come on my mind right then. When you get saved and you accept Jesus, who is God's gift, I promise you what you will not do is open up Christ and it be empty. I promise you that. Listen, being saved is not an empty life. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Amen. He is that gift that keeps on giving, but it's not an empty life. Now that is being projected, Brother Ben, by a lot of people that claim to be saved. They act like that being saved is a low life, one of little to no joy in their life. God help us. We've made Christmas tangible. We've made it material. We've made it financial. We've made it social. I mean, some of my fondest memories growing up, family memories, was at Christmas time. But really, Christmas is not about family. It's about Jesus. Now, isn't that right? Amen. We eat, we get together, we eat. I enjoy that, and I'm planning on doing more of it. It's amen right there. But really, it's not about that. It's not about none of those things. It's not about what are you going to get me. I'm going to pause right there and let you think on that. It's not about what you're getting me, and it's not about what I'm going to get you. So I went through that real quick. That's not it at all. You know, it's about Jesus. And I know, and I want to be. I'm planning on being this morning very basic and just very plain and very simple, because I think that's what we're missing. We're missing the simplicity of the fact that Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. But anyway, I want us to look at some things here this morning about that, the fact that Jesus Christ is God's gift. He is, and there's verses to show that Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world that God gave. Probably one that we all know the best is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you glad God gave? Are you glad who it was that God gave? Not what he gave, but who it was that he gave. Oh, I tell you, we ought to be thankful this morning for what God has done for us. Christmas has only become a seasonal thing. It has only become a secular thing. And it's something that has been shared with all additional stories, all additional things that's been added to that. But I want to give you some things here about the gift. I wrote this down. Jesus as the gift means nothing unless you've received him. Isn't that right? Unless you've received him. That's exactly right. Are you going to listen? And that's what salvation is you receiving the Savior, receiving God's gift. Amen? Of course, a lot of times we receive earthly gifts with no thought that this is going to change my life. But that's not going to be the case with Christ. He's going to change your life. And that's why a lot of people don't want him, is because they like their life the way it is. Amen? So listen, it's meaningless unless you've received the gift of God. And I want to mention this morning. Boy, God gave this to me last night. That the gift of Christ is, listen, for it to be what it needed to be in, and for him to be what he needed to be, he had to represent both the giving side and the receiving side. Brother Ben, I want you to help me if you would. Come on, just stand up here. I told him just follow along. Amen. At one point, Jesus Christ was with God. Of course, he was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we know that. There was a time that Jesus Christ was in the hands of, was with the Father, one with the Father, with the Father, from eternity past. Never had a beginning. Eternal. Co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal with God. Philippians 2, he thought not robbery to be equal with God. There was a time that was the case. But a little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came here. He came here as a gift. He came here as God's present, hung on a tree, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Of course, even when he died, they wrapped him again. Isn't that amazing? But Brother Ben is on the receiving end. Now, as long as I've got the gift, I'm just kind of representing the Lord here, or God. Brother Ben's the receiver. As long as it's like this, then that's not, then this gift is no benefit to him. And let me pause right here. I want everybody to see this right here. Brother Ben being a man, and if I'm representing the Lord, Brother Ben can't deal with me directly because of sin. And I can't deal with Ben directly because of holiness. So there's a break there. There's a gap there. There's a wall of partition there that we cannot get past. Brother Ben can't deal with me because of sin. He has nothing to give me. I can't give him anything because of my holiness. So there has to be something between us. And God allows his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our mediator. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, so he is able to represent God. He's able to be God, but yet there's no connection with man at that point. Until he came here and became incarnate, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, robed himself in flesh. Now he can, the gift can not only remain connected with God because of holiness, but is also able with his humanity to relate to the receivers. There had to be something. All right, now watch this right here. I'm skipping a few things here. Brother Ben, this is Jesus. This is the unspeakable gift, and it's personal, and it's for you. Now, you ain't paid for this. You've not worked for this. It's a gift, right? A gift comes by grace. You didn't deserve it, didn't do nothing for it. But this is a gift for you. Will you receive it? All right, now watch this right here. Y'all see that? I'm still a hold of it. Now man has made a connection with the Lord because the gift that is between us. Boy, when I seen that last night, I'm telling you, I about had a spell. I'm telling you. That, listen, now when Ben receives the gift, the Father never lets go of it. It still remains connected to the Father. It's the unspeakable gift. But at the same time, Brother Ben is the receiver of the gift. And as a result, now we're connected. I'm able to deal with Brother Ben, even though with the aspect of holiness, and he's able to deal with me, amen, even in spite of his sin. Why? Because the gift, my friend, took care of, while maintaining holiness, took care of the sin issue and satisfied the condemning law of God that said you've got to die. You can't come to my heaven. But because the gift now, representing us both, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of man. And now he's the go-between. Now he is the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. He is able, thank God, to pay the price as well as, amen, to save. He can be still just and save the unjust. So that gift is between us. But now I want to show you what a lot of people do. Now God will never let go. He'll never sever himself from Jesus. Now there was a time he did, Brother Jeter. Let me back up just a minute, Brother Ben. There was a time when Jesus was on the cross that the Father turned his back on the Son of God. Even Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But after that was over with, thank God there'll never be a time ever the Father and the Son, their fellowship will be broken. Why? So that the Father can go from Brother Ben and go to the next one and go to the next one and go to the next one worldwide, whoever will receive the gift of God. Listen, if you're here today and you're thinking about getting saved and you need to be saved, I want you to know that you cannot be saved apart from the gift of God between you and God. You've got to do business with the gift in order to do business with God. God had to do business with the gift before he could do business for the receiver. Jesus Christ is the one. Hold that right there just a minute, Brother Ben. Listen to this verse right here. Listen to this verse. Apologize for being scattered, but we're just trying to mind the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 18 and 19. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, what is it, verse 15, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's him right there. He's between me and Brother Ben. Amen. He stays related to God that gave, and also to the receiver that receives. Now, I'll tell you what a lot of people wants to do. They want to get saved. They want to receive Christ. He is now in their possession. Amen. He's been given to them. And if you get Christ, you get all that comes with him. Amen. You don't have to dig around in there and say, I don't need that. That won't fit. That's not the right color. That's not the right size. No, no. I promise you, if you receive Christ, everything that comes through him and with him, amen, you need and you cannot find in this world. You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. It comes only through the unspeakable gift. But here's what a lot of people wants to do. They want to receive it. Okay, now I'm saved. Give testimony, I'm saved. And then they want to discard. They want to turn loose. And then they want to go off and live their own life. If that's the salvation you got, I tell you what you need to do with it. You need to take it to probably the dollar store and trade it for a piece of bubble gum so you could have something that's worth something. How dare anybody say, oh, I've received the gift, preacher. I've got saved. Hallelujah. But Jesus ain't having nothing to do with my life. I'm going to go right on, and I'm going to continue on to live as I want to live. Shame on anybody that has that mentality. Shame on anybody that'll treat the Son of God like that. Hey, I want to tell you what I remember, and I hope you did too. I remember what my life was before I got saved. When I was in full control of my life and I was making choices and my hands was on the steering wheel of my life, I knew what a wreck I was. I knew what dead-end roads I took. I still remember that. Oh, I want to tell you, happy day when I put my hands as a receiver upon the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to tell you, it's a happy day, Brother Aaron, when I let him keep a hold of the gift and I keep a hold of the gift and let God lead me. Hey, watch this right here. This is not just a good illustration on the giving and receiving, but watch this. Come on, Brother Ben. If he'll keep his hands on the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, I can lead him wherever I want to lead him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm not having to make Brother Ben follow. You know why? He said, hey, wherever that gift goes, I'm going. I'm not turning loose of it. Amen. Why? Because inside, come on, girls, sang this while ago. He's all I need. Everything I need in the valley, I can find in the Son of God. Everything I need in facing the storms of life, I can find with the Son of God and in the Son of God and through the Son of God. When it comes down time to cross old children Jordan and die and leave this world, guess what? Everything that I need is in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's good, ain't Brother Ben? Oh, Brother Ben's been, you know what he's doing? He's just following the gift. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm leading him where I myself am going. Amen. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. You know what the whole connection is, Brother Mark? Is what is your attitude toward the gift of God that connects the giver and the receiver? He's all I need. I'm telling you, I sat on the front row while they sung that song, knowing of these thoughts and stuff that the Lord's working in my heart. I'm telling you, it blessed me all over to know that Jesus Christ is all I need. And I'm going to tell you, the further I go in this life, Sister June, Jesus Christ is not just all I need. He's becoming more and more of all that I want. Brother Ben, in essence, when he's following the leadership, you know what he's saying, Brother Jeff? If it's not with the gift, from the gift, behind the gift, concerning the gift, I'm not really interested in it. Boy, I'm thankful. Are y'all listening? I'm thankful for the change that comes about in your life when you receive Christ. You just don't fit in where you used to fit in. If Brother Ben wanted to let go and say, you know what, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to kind of just detach myself from Jesus' leadership in my life and fellowship and closeness and intimacy. Now I'm just going to go over here and do my thing. Do you think he'll be happy? Do you think he'll be satisfied? No. I'm going to tell you, Brother Jeter, what you need, what all of us need, it's not financial. Our needs are not financial. If we needed finances, God would have sent us a banker. Our need is not straightening up. If that would have been the case, Sister Hayes, God would have sent us a reformer. Oh, we just needed education. Well, God would have sent us a teacher. But instead, God knew our greatest need was a Savior. And so he sent Jesus to be our Savior. Amen. And so we, listen, and listen, I'm glad that God makes a change in my life. And I don't have any pleasure, none whatsoever, in what I used to be. I have no desire to go back there. I'm telling you, the greatest day in my life is when I accepted Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ hooked me and God up together. God, who knew my need and was able to meet my need, came in the person of Jesus. And when I got saved, my needs are met. When I get discouraged, Sister June, you know what we're doing? Instead of getting our eyes off of this and off of this, we're getting our eyes elsewhere. How many's like that this morning? You got your hand still on the gift. Oh yeah, preacher, I'm saved. I've received Christ as my Savior. But instead of your focus being here and the will of God for your life and the purpose of God for your life, instead of that being so, you're looking elsewhere. You're looking to friends. You're looking to fun. You're looking to all of the things of this world. And you wonder why you're miserable. Right here's where your joy is at. Right here's where your peace is going to be found. Right here. And it's a gift. Don't ever forget that. But Ben, you didn't pay for that. You didn't buy nothing. It's just free gift. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. I may use you a little bit later on. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But anyway, thank God for that. That I see in that gift representation. I see in that gift reconciliation. God reaching to man through Christ and man being able to connect with God through Christ. You know, we use this little cliche a lot at Christmas time. I can remember as long as I've been alive. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And that is right. But that's not what Jesus says. You know what Jesus will say? You are the reason. You. Jesus is saying it was your sakes. It was for your sake that I come here. Well, if we could get a hold of that this morning. It wouldn't matter if there's a tree in the house or lights on the gutters. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter who gives us a card or who buys us something or who. That wouldn't mean nothing. It's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. It's about reconciliation. If you're here lost this morning, there's a gap, a distance between you and God, and you have no way of filling that gap. There's no way. You just can't do it. That's why Jesus came here. He can be the Son of Man that would connect to man and be the Son of God and connect to God and be able to be the just and the justifier of them that believes. You know why I believe a lot of people are not excited about Christ at Christmas? They're not excited about why He came. Just a story. If the Lord don't change my mind, I may preach on it sometime in the near future on why He came. Biblically, what was the reason for why Christ came? And that right there ought to stir devotion. In light of, and I never even touched the surface this morning, really. Actually, I was wanting to get to the point of asking a question on what are you planning on giving Jesus? I was preaching up there yesterday and the thought came to my mind, we act like it's more of our birthday than it is His. How would you feel if there was an announced celebration for you? Miss Caden, I'll just use you since you're right here. And I know you pretty well. Say amen, Miss Stacy. If you had a party, Miss Stacy and Brother Scott and them put on a party for you. It was yours. It was all about you, your birthday. But everybody that came had gifts for everybody in the room but you. I don't have to ask. I can pretty well make a statement. You would be in the flesh, to say the least, right? Would you be hurt? Would you be disappointed if all the songs everybody was singing was about everybody and everything else but you? The gifts was to and from everybody else. And you was over in the corner like, what? Excuse me. I thought I'm supposed to be the main issue here. This party's supposed to be about me, isn't it? I mean, am I not supposed to be the receiving of the gifts and all the notoriety and recognition and everything? But you're over in the corner, you know, with your arms folded as you watch everybody talking among themselves, exchanging gifts among themselves, singing and all things among themselves. And you're over in the corner, the one that it's supposed to be about, and nothing is going on about you. That's exactly the way it is happening with Jesus. It's all about Him, but He gets very little recognition. What are you going to give Him? What are you going to give Him? I'll tell you what you want to give Him. You want me to illustrate what you should give Him? The churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians 8, the Bible said they gave themselves to the Lord. Amen? 1 Timothy 4, was it 4:15? Where it said that Timothy and them was that they were to wholly, wholly, I guess is how you spell that. They wholly gave themselves to the Lord. You know what you need to give Jesus for Christmas? right here. You need to get in the Christmas. That's what God did. God got in the bag himself. He was the gift. What are you going to give? You want God to give himself for you, but then you don't want to give yourself to him? No, preacher, I just want what's in the bag. I just want some of the benefits. I want salvation. I want eternal life, but I don't want to give him myself. Can I ask you this? Would Jesus be able to save you if he hadn't given himself? Answer that. If Jesus had just gave part, would he be able to save you? The answer to that's no. It took all of Jesus to be the gift for your salvation. If I receive that gift, should I not in return desire to give him my all? Very few will ever do that in their life. Give yourself to God. Not as a payment. You can't pay God. You need to get in the box. Here's why. Because you are his possession. He bought you. He purchased you. That's the thing about that gift, Brother Ben, if he was still up here, hold of that bag. Listen, it's not just that, oh, he's got to hold the bag. And no, there's a connection all the way through the bag. The one that gave the gift owns the receiver. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased of God. And I'm no longer my own. How many people are claiming to be saved, but they're still living their own life? They're doing what they want to do. And I told those people yesterday up there in that service preaching, I said, there are an enormous amount of people on planet Earth that says they're saved and absolutely have no heart for the Lord. I don't believe that's possible. I don't believe it's possible for you to be the receiver of the gift of God and you not love God. I don't believe that's possible. I don't believe it's possible for you to be saved and not love God. And if you love God, you love the things of God. If you love this world, guess what that tells me? That tells me you're probably still of it. Especially if the world loves you. If people that don't love God pats you on the back and praises you and likes to have you around all the time, your light's not shining, or you're lost one. That's right. I love him, and I'm going to live for him. Quitting's not an option. God gave me his best, and I want to give him mine. Have I? 37 years? Nope. Brother Jeff, I've heard people say, no regrets. And I don't have any regrets of getting saved. But I'm going to tell you, I've been a sorry Christian. I have been a sorry Christian. And I wish I could go back again and come back through there again. I believe I'd have done some things differently. And my life is a vapor. It's a blur. It's going by so fast. God gave me his best. How many's giving him? How many's going to get in the box? Say, Lord, this is not my salvation. My salvation's in this is in the gift that God gave. But Lord, I'm getting in my own gift box, and I'm going to give you myself. I know you own me. I know you purchased me. I understand that I belong to you. But my will is involved, and I want to give myself to you. I want you to matter in every decision that I make and the directions that I take in life. I want you to matter. You know what John 10 says? Jesus said this of his own mouth, all that was before me were thieves and robbers. Brother Sam, you know what a thief and a robber does? Steals, takes. But Jesus said in the next verse, He said, all that was before me were thieves and robbers. But then he said, the thief, singular, the devil, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have, look at that word, thieves, robbers, takes, and steals. But God says, I'm interested in you having. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. You go with this world, it'll steal everything you got. You chase after this world and follow this world and go after the Hollywood promoted American dream, and you will wind up with nothing. They don't love you. This world cannot. I want you to get this. I'm about done. This world cannot love. You know why? Because love is of God. 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is love. How can you love? How can something that's not of God love? Amen. Sinners can't love. Lost people can't love because they don't know God. But if you chase after the worldly dreams, it'll use you up, spit you out when they're done with you, and you'll be discarded. And they'll move on to the next victim, and the next victim, and the next victim. Who do you think's behind all the ravaged lives? You think God's behind that? Who do you think's behind the dope addicts and the drunk, the alcoholics, and people that are literally in bondage to vices in this world? God's not behind that. God's not behind that. But Brother Jeter, I can preach this, and I've just kind of been scattered this morning, but I can preach my heart out and preach my whole life and warn young people about the course of this world and about the thief of this world, the prince and power of the air, and how all that he's after, and that he cares nothing for you. And you know what? Young people, one right after another, will at some point in their life turn and walk away from everything they heard preached and go right out in that stinking world and make choices that literally will destroy their life, mar their life, wreck their life. The devil keeps whispering in my ear all the time, what's the use? Why do you preach? People don't care. And I have to keep this in my mind. It's not for them. It's for him. It's for him. And I want to quickly say that not every young person has done that. I don't get any of the glory. I refuse it because I know better. But I don't know where these girls right here would be if they hadn't been exposed to not just them. I'm pointing them out, and we got others. Not just young people, people here. No telling where you would be if you hadn't been exposed to preaching and biblical truth that is becoming more and more scarce in life. So when the devil whispers in my ear, why preach? People don't want truth. People want storytelling and feel good preaching. They don't want live good preaching. Then my mind goes to some folks that come to church here. I said, well, I don't know where Miss Tara had been. Miss Tara, you raise your hand right there. I don't know where she would have been. She didn't even want to come here. She hated this church. But God saved her. Brother Ron, I don't know where you'd been. Miss June, I remember when you and your family come all the way from Georgia. And I've seen growth. I've seen God work. In fact, all of your children's got saved here except, one still yet is not saved. You know what that does? That just kind of encourages me to continue on. God's dealing with some more. In fact, I'll be planning to speak to one right after the service. God's dealing with one of our young ones. Has been for 6 months. About being saved. Oh my goodness, that fires me up. So the devil tries to get me looking at those people that discarded preaching disrespect, and go on out there and do their own thing. And cause me to forget about those that's sitting here that's listened to truth and adhered to truth and responded to truth. Amen. That's going to keep me going. But will you give yourself to the Lord? Have you? Will you? Jesus, I was going to go down through the comparison of how Jesus gave. He gave himself. Listen, let me just give that to you. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. He gave himself willingly. He wasn't forced. And you shouldn't be forced to give yourself away. He gave himself willingly. He gave himself wantingly. He desired it. He wanted to do it. He gave himself woefully. There are going to be some negatives involved. Jesus Christ was hated, despised, persecuted, lied on, called names, abandoned, and you name it. But yet still, he gave himself. You give yourself to him, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be valleys, there's going to be storms, but that's not a game changer. He gave himself watchfully. That is, it was very visible that he gave himself. He didn't die in a closet. He didn't die in the dark. He hung between heaven and earth in open, visible view of humanity. He died, listen, he gave himself wonderfully. There was joy in enduring the cross. No regrets. If Jesus had it to do over, he would do it again. He would die for you. Amen. Someone said that when life seemingly becomes a bed of thorns, remember who wore the thorn. No, when, I forgot how that goes now. I just read it this morning. Somebody said that about when life gives you a, I don't remember now. Forget it. But it was something about the fact, remember, when life doesn't give you a rose garden, remember who wore the thorns or something like that. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. He gave himself for you as a free gift. That's what salvation is a free gift. Will you make room for him? Will you receive him as your Savior? Amen. You should preach, I don't know if he'll receive me. I don't know if he'll accept me. Do you think he would die for you and not accept you? He's already paid the sin debt for you. He's already died for you. He deserves for you to receive him. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, this morning to, Lord, take the feeble effort on our part. And Lord, we pray that you will, through it all, speak to our hearts as your people. Lord, I want to thank you for the connection that was made between you, the giver, and me, the receiver, through the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to thank you for that, that I was reconciled to God through the gift of Christ. But not only was I reconciled, Lord, I want to thank you that through your poverty I was made rich. I want to thank you that everything that I need in my journey as a Christian, everything that I need for eternity is found in Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that. And that's the message that others need to hear, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the gift of God that meets the needs of humanity. And Lord, we know that. But Lord, how many times we don't tell it. Forgive us for being silent. Forgive us, Lord, for not being as visible as a Christian as we ought to be. Lord, help us to never be embarrassed or ashamed of the Lord Jesus, because he surely was not ashamed of us as he hung between heaven and earth in open shame. He despised the shame, he did. But he loved the purpose, and that was to deliver us from our sin. Take us out of the kingdom of darkness. Put us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, I wonder how many in here this morning, members, visitors, young and old alike, would put themselves in the box and say, Lord, I'm giving you. I'm surrendering myself. I'm submitting myself over to you. Lord, you gave yourself for me, and that was an act of grace because I didn't deserve it. But when I give you myself, Lord, that's not an act of grace because you do deserve it. You deserve, Lord, my all, my best, my everything. Forgive me, Lord, for being a part-time Christian. A lot of my journey. On, off, up, down, in, out, forgive me. Lord, you deserve for us to be full-time, all the time, Christians. Maybe someone here today, Lord, has stepped out of the box. There was a time in their life that they had received not only Christ, but they had given themselves to you. And over the course of time, and over the course of maybe getting cold and distant, they've started to change their mind about some things, and they're starting to step out of the box. Instead of giving themselves wholly, totally, completely to you, they're starting to share, just giving you a little bit of their life while they retain the other part and give away some. Just speak to hearts. That's all I know to ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Save sinners. Lord, I know there's some here this morning that you're dealing with about their soul and about their need of Christ. Deal with them, I pray. Draw them. Show them it's not complicated. It's not complicated to receive a gift that was purchased by another, that's got our name on it, that we can have it. Lord, it doesn't take a lot of education to figure that one out. And I want to thank you, Lord, for making salvation to where even the smallest child can understand. Sure do thank you this morning for being my Savior. Forgive me, Lord, for living a little life for a big Lord. Forgive me, Lord, I pray, for wanting to live my big life for a small Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray this morning in Jesus' name. Fill our hearts with gratitude and appreciation and adoration to the Savior.